Continuing in the study of Ephesians, and we're at chapter 6, verse 15. But we're actually going to begin by reading verses 10 to 18. So here's Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, getting the whole picture, and then looking specifically at one part of the armor. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Let's pray together. Our great God, we thank you for this wonderful picture that's given to us. Thank you for the reminder that our battle is a spiritual one. And thank you for the reminder that you have equipped us with that which is needed to stand in the midst of the battle. We know that we battle against an unseen enemy, but we thank you that in your strength we can stand, and we pray your blessing upon us. Help us, we pray. Give us grace in this hour. Teach us from your word, and help us to appreciate the wonder of what you've provided for us. Grant us your Holy Spirit. Take the things of Christ and reveal them to us. Help us this evening, we pray. We thank you for the privilege of gathering, and pray that your blessing will be upon your people, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're easily distracted by the wonderful phrase in verse 12 that tells us about the struggle with spiritual forces. Verse 12 again. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And of course, we're of an age of adventure movies and technical effects that people can do, and so we can even imagine what a wonderful movie someone could make out of the spiritual forces written, drawn in certain ways and coming in clash with each other, and the wonderful sense of the great work that's going on, and Michael the Archangel and the other forces coming, gathering to work in the spiritual realm, and we could escape into some make-believe world of technical effects, and everyone could be amazed and say how wonderful it was, and we'd be like a spectator in the great battle of the great spiritual battle that's going on. We stand as spectators, astonished. But of course, that's not what Paul's talking about at all. And he doesn't call us to be spectators in the battle. And when he mentions the spiritual forces, he mentions the strength and the power and the connection with all those things. But he's speaking in a very specific and actual and real way to us. And he's calling us to battle, not in those realms. He isn't calling us to observe the battle in those realms. What he's calling us to do is to observe the battle in our realm and to realize that in our realm, God is calling us to stand against the forces of darkness. We struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But our struggle is not in that extreme realm. It's in the common everyday realm of our lives. And we see that by just going back for a moment to Ephesians chapter 5 and noting, I'll just note verses to jump to see is this is where the battle is. And this is what God is calling us to. Look at chapter 5 of Ephesians and verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Look at chapter 6, 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. And look at verse 5. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. And look at verse 9. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Now, these are ordinary situations that we're in every day. All of us cope with family, cope with loved ones, cope with pressures at work situations, cope with those that may be over us in responsibility and authority, or cope with those that may be under us in terms of our responsibility for them. But in any case, they're everyday experiences that we go through. We all have those problems. We all have those relationships. And that's what God is talking about. So when we think of the spiritual battle going on, we don't pull back as spectators to see the tremendous panorama of display. What we do is look at our own lives, our own circumstances, and see that we're to walk with God in our relationship with wife or husband, before their children, in regard to employers and fellow employees. Do we ever stumble in those areas? Do we ever blow it? Do we ever fall on our face? Do we ever behave in a way that embarrasses us? Do we ever slip? Do we ever keep from being what we know we ought to be in those situations? Do we ever get tripped up? Do we ever slip and fall? The enemy of your soul would like to trip you into some major sin that will destroy your testimony big time. He does enjoy that. And when we see him especially attacking a well-known Christian and using the person's sin to bring them into a place that dishonors Jesus Christ and embarrasses his people, the devil delights to do that. But that's not what he'll do in your life. You're not big enough. I mean, there could be some sense in which your life could ripple out into the effects of all that know you. And there would be a sense in which he could have you fall big time. But the place where the devil's always working to make you fall, it's not the big time places, but the individual struggles, difficulties, tensions, relationships that you face every day in husband and wife relationships, parent and child relationships, employer and employee relationships, both those relationships, children's relationships with their parents. The enemy works in all those things in order to bring us down, and we need to be able to stand. We've looked at the fact that we need the belt of truth. We need the thing that holds everything together and makes us strong and able to do something at all. Perhaps in the Roman idea would be a gathering up the robes so that we can move and walk, or just holding together all our armor is truth, and we have to be held together by the truth. We don't believe cunningly devised fables. It's not that we have to sort of make ourselves believe in spite of the fact that it's false just because we're playing some game. We're not playing a game. And the thing that enables us to stand is the fact that we're standing for the truth, and it doesn't matter whether other people believe it or not. And it doesn't matter whether the world believes it or not. Athanasius could say the world against him. And Paul says, let God be true and every man a liar. So there's a strength that comes because you have the truth. And that's what we have to have. We're held together by the truth, and our armor held together by the truth. And one of the key pieces is that which guards our heart and our desires and our energy, the breastplate of righteousness, committed to righteousness and truly committed there. You can say righteousness or truth. You can say, does it mean truthfulness or does it mean the truth as an objective thing? But really, this is poetry. And in fact, the beauty of poetry is that often there's more than one meaning gathered together. to express the depth and the wonder of a thing. And so we have the breastplate of righteousness, guarding our hearts, loving God and continuing to love him, loving his word, his law written upon our hearts, guarded by a life that is determined to live for him. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the belt of truth. We have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Spiritual forces are at work in the ebb and flow of family life, the ups and downs of the job. We need the belt of truth. We need the breastplate of righteousness. But we need sure footing, too. And God gives you that in what he calls the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. What keeps you from stumbling? What enables you to stand in spite of the terrain? What enables you to press on? It is the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. God calls me to that. What I'm standing on is righteous, is the gospel of peace. My desire is forgiveness and peace in the situations I face. The Father desires forgiveness and peace in the context in which he finds himself. The husband desires forgiveness and peace and is committed to that and will stand because of an attitude of heart that desires forgiveness and peace. The wife will stand and not fall because of a heart that desires forgiveness and peace. They're ready to stand because of a heart that desires forgiveness and peace. God calls us to stand for forgiveness and peace. And the devil, in those very areas, often prompts us, usually prompts us to abandon that and stand firm for something else. Hold to the principle. How many times have we held to the principle and stumbled and fell? Sure, we're fixing, we must hold principles. Well, yes. And then stumble and fall on your face spiritually. How easily that can happen. Administer justice. There's responsibility in some time to do what is right. Hold to it. Strength is important. Stand for it. And how many times in seeking to administer justice, we fall on our face spiritually. We aren't what we ought to be. We somehow haven't administered justice in a way that has anything to do with the gospel and peace. And if our desire in the midst of administering justice was a desire for forgiveness and peace, that somehow in the midst of it all, what we desire is forgiveness and peace, it's going to keep us more able to stand than we will when we simply stand for the administration of justice. How about the responsibility to deal with infractions? A boss has to deal with infractions of laws. Anybody in authority would have to do. A parent has to deal with the infractions. In that context of dealing with the infractions, is it really possible for the parent to blow it? Is it really possible for them to lose footing? And in fact, act in such a way that they don't feel very pleased about it? They don't really think that they have stood? Spiritually, they sort of stumbled in the midst of dealing with infractions within the situation. There are times you have to require compliance. Is it possible in the being strong to require compliance that you can fall short of the idea of forgiveness and truth? The underlying desire is that in all of this situation, what we want to bring a person to is forgiveness and truth. There can be a time where we have responsibility to punish those who fall short. People in authority have to, in some way, inflict punishment upon those who fall short. Isn't that a very area where the devil is quick to try to trip us up? And we did what we were supposed to do, but we felt embarrassed by the fact that we were not the way we should have been. We weren't the person we should have been, while we're standing for the thing that we ought to stand for. And somehow our footing is affected by desiring forgiveness and truth in the situation. Forgiveness and peace in the situation. Punish those who fall short. Reward good behavior. Times of rewarding good behavior. But are there times where we could stumble? Are there areas where we have lost the real point? other areas where we've made choices that in fact cause some problems in the context of feeling responsible to reward good behavior. Making sure there are consequences. Are there a time when you need to make sure that a person sees their consequences for what they've done? Are there things to teach in that context? And of course there are. But is that the very context when we are making sure that the consequences follow the action that shouldn't have been done? Are there areas where we can stumble? Not be a very good Christian in the midst of what we're doing? Well, that's where the enemy works, to try to make us not be a very good Christian while we're standing for what we ought to stand for. And therefore, we need the preparation of the gospel of peace. We can make sure there are consequences for bad behavior, but we can do that in a way that's not very Christian. And God would call us to forget, not to forget, to recognize that the gospel and peace is what we're going after when I have to be a policeman. The devil would make me feel very much I have to be the policeman. I'm the governor. I'm the boss. I'm the lord of the manor, the sovereign, the liege. I can be thinking of what I am, and in fact, in my actual exercising of those responsibilities, I can somehow lose my footing. And the way in which I'm behaving is not really a very Christian way, which is what the enemy's doing and what he's constantly doing. And the way in which we can stand firm against that is to have in our minds and our realization that God's concern is that I'm kept standing spiritually because I've remained committed to the gospel and peace. I want, in that situation, to bring about the gospel and peace, forgiveness and peace. And really, when we look at the way the Lord's dealt with us, has he brought us into submission? Yes. Is it ever been by swaggering around and making us cower by his presence that we ever trembled because he's looking at us? Somehow he's brought us into submission, but it hasn't been apart from the gospel of peace. It's been somehow through the gospel of peace. He's brought us into submission. He's brought us into a place of cooperation with him by forcing us, by being the policeman that catches us and holds us accountable. Has he made us accountable? Yes. Do we feel accountable? Do we feel there are consequences? Yes, we believe that. How did Jesus bring that about in our lives? By threatening and frowning and making us stand in awe and terror? No, we don't stand before Jesus in terror, but something brings us to a place where we are recognizing consequences and wanting to avoid them. Our hearts desire to do that which we're called to do. The Lord does that, and it's always in a context somehow of forgiveness and peace. And it's never because we just had to stew for a while with the sense of his displeasure until finally we knuckled under. That isn't what we do. We never have. Jesus has never done that. And he's called us to submit to him. And he's called us to embrace his will for our life. And he's called us to recognize our responsibility. And he's made us responsible. And he's made us want to do that which is right. And it never has been with the severity that we would so easily fall into when we're responsible to do these things. Can God help us in the midst of our relationships, that we can have those relationships, our basic foundation, what we're constantly seeking to stand upon is forgiveness and peace? That's what we're after? Could we possibly do that? Well, God not only believes we can do that, he'll enable us to do that. And it'll all be a part of enabling us in those circumstances to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would I hold my ground more securely as a Christian if I were committed to the gospel of peace? Are many of the things I stand for and insist upon the very things that cause me to stumble and fall as a Christian. I'm doing the right thing and I'm standing firm. But I've blown it. That's what the enemy wants. I don't know that we always do. I think sometimes the Lord helps us. Sometimes helping us to keep in mind the gospel and peace. That keeps us from stumbling, makes us firm, gives us the foothold that we need. It happens sometimes. Maybe we're growing in that area. But it is the thing, the area where the enemy would delight to bring us down. Not just in the major areas that cause a great dishonor to the name of Christ and wreck our reputation forever. No, somehow we survive. Our reputation survives. And because there is the gospel and peace, somehow we're not held to be as bad as we were. And somehow there's forgiveness and there's peace in the midst of it. And that's what gets a family through. In the midst of the wrong responses, in the places the devil has had some effect and some help in order to get us to fall, the thing that delivers and somehow helps the family remain intact and helps us to continue to press on with one another is the preparation of the gospel and peace. It's exactly forgiveness and peace that restores when one has fallen and that establishes again. It makes us desire to work together. It's the gospel and peace. It's not that that person finally learned their lesson and changed. It's not that we held out and didn't speak until they said they were sorry. Jesus doesn't do that with us. And he's the one that brings us around and makes our heart desire the things of God. Makes us want to be what we ought to be and want to obey and want to accept the program and want to cooperate. All those areas we want to do it right because of the gospel and peace. Jesus brings us to peace with himself and forgives us. So somehow forgiveness and peace is what will keep me from stumbling in all these areas where the devil is very concerned to bring me down. The thing that will keep me is somehow in the midst of the way I exercise my responsibility, it will involve the gospel and forgiveness and peace. Are many of the things I stand for and insist upon the very things that cause me to stumble and fall as a Christian? I question again. Are many of the things I stand for and insist upon the very things that cause me to stumble and fall as a Christian? If my goal were the gospel of peace, would I keep my footing better? The devil wants me to stand my ground, assert my right, maintain my authority, bring others into submission. And Jesus has always dealt with me on the basis of the gospel, bringing me to peace with him and with others. His walk with God was perfect, without a stumble, with no falling on his face. Would I stand more securely if I were shod with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace? In the stand that I'm taking in the conflict, do I have a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace? In the areas where I feel I need to be strong, do they have any foundation at all in the gospel of peace? Am I stirred as Jesus was stirred, or has the devil tripped me up again? Am I looking for peace and ready to extend forgiveness, ready to ask for forgiveness? Is that the reflex of my life as I seek to live in the responsibilities that God's given me in my relationships? In the areas where we stumble all the time, may God give us a sure footing in the gospel of peace. I'm not sure how to apply those things to your life, but I know I want to apply them to mine. And to the degree, even since I worked on this and have been thinking about it, to the degree to which I've tried to return to that, it's helped me, I think. I don't see that my wife would say I've been a much better husband. I'm not sure she'd say that. I'm not sure other people would notice. So many of the things that you try to do, they do have their effect, but nobody notices. But would your life be better? Would your stand for the Lord be better? Would your stumbling be less? Would you have a strong footing, a stronger footing than you have, if basically these things came to your mind in terms of your responsibilities? Responsibilities of wives to husbands. Responsibility of husbands to wives. Responsibility of children to parents. Would forgiveness and peace, a desire, a readiness for forgiveness and peace. You can't institute and make happen forgiveness and peace, but a readiness, it's the lack of readiness to forgiveness and peace that often puts the obstacle. You're not ready to forgive. You're not ready to have peace. And the devil will there say, somehow it's not time yet, or somebody hasn't seen what they need to see, or something keeps us from being ready for the gospel and peace. Can you forgive a person too soon? I don't know. How do I have to deal with the situation for my life? I have an idea what I want to do in my life. I can't say how you apply it in your life. But it's the Word of God speaks to you as well as it does to me. And I'm convinced that this is what God wants to impress us with. Our footing, our standing, our not stumbling in all the areas of our responsibility and our commitment in relationships, our not stumbling as a Christian, will be connected with a readiness for forgiveness and peace. And a sense that that's what I stand for. Forgiveness and peace. To the degree that that can be us, will be a degree to which we're more like the Lord Jesus, who always dealt that way with us and who calls us to deal that way with others. May the Lord help me, all of us, with a footing that will help us stand. Let's pray. Our great God, we do confess that there are times that we stand for the right thing, but we blow it as a Christian as we stand. And our own life as a Christian stumbles because we haven't had our feet where they need to be. Will you help us, Lord? Would you give us a standing that is a readiness for the gospel and peace? Lord, grant us your grace, we pray. Do take these things and bring them to our own situation. You know what we are. You know those of us who are husbands, those who are wives, those who are children, with responsibilities and obligations, those that are employees. You know where we are and what our who our responsibilities are to and who our struggles are with. Lord, you know those that are employers who have responsibility for people under them. Lord, in all these things, will you help that our footing, our stand as a Christian would be based upon the gospel and peace, forgiveness and peace, our goal, our desire, that which we stand for. Help us, Lord, in these things, we pray. We pray you'll apply it to our lives personally. We know it applies to us because you've given it to us in your word. Would you give your Holy Spirit to take the things of God and reveal them to us? And so help us to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ with our lives, and by his grace, be more like him. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.